Procédure de qualification 2021.
Employé de commerce, CFC.
Anglais, compréhension auditive, série 2.
Cher candidat, la compréhension auditive que vous allez entendre vous permettra de remplir les documents qui vous ont été remis. Elle se compose de 3 parties, chaque partie étant répétée une fois et comporte un temps de réflexion entre chacune des parties. Veuillez avoir l'obligeance d'écrire très lisiblement. D'avance, merci et bonne chance pour votre examen. Vous avez maintenant quelques instants pour prendre connaissance de ces différentes parties.
Part 1. You will hear a man who needs to apply for unemployment benefit. Fill in the missing information below using a word, numbers, or letters. You will hear the recording twice. You now have time to read the questions.
Good morning, sir. Sit down, please. So, how can I help you?
Good morning. Well, you see, I lost my job last week. In fact, I was made redundant.
Sorry about that.
I worked for Brendix Limited in Reading for 13 years. I was one of 3 admin assistants in the sales department. I was advised to come here to see you and claim unemployment benefit.
Right. First, can I have your name, please?
James Wickersham.
Sorry, could you spell your surname, please?
Sure. It's WICKERSHAM.
Thanks. Secondly, do you have your social security number with you?
Yes, I do. Here it is. The number is GT86449E.
GT86441E. Okay, are you still at St. John Street?
Oh no, we moved some time ago. Our address now is 220 Scarborough Road.
I've got it, so that means your telephone number has changed as well.
Yes, now it's 0374 5623 1886.
And what about your email address? I've got one here at gmail.com.
I do have a new one now, at Zimbra.
Okay, then I need your new email address.
It's very simple. james86@zimbra.uk.
Zimbra, is that Z-I-M-B-R-A?
Yes, that's it.
Okay. Now I need to check your personal details. First of all, are you still married?
Oh, yes, and still in love.
Good for you. And according to our records, you have 2 children?
Well, actually, we have 3 now, with a baby girl just 6 months old.
So that's why you moved?
That's right. We used to have 5 rooms, but we wanted an extra room for the baby. We have now moved into a house which has the exact number of rooms we need.
Good. And is it rented or did you buy it?
It's rented.
And what's the rent per month?
£625.
Okay. And how much do you pay for utilities?
Pardon?
You know, utilities. I mean gas, electricity and water.
Let me think. Gas about £45. Electricity about £29 and water, if I remember rightly, about £22. So that's £96 altogether.
Okay, now I have everything I need.
Now, listen again.
Good morning, sir. Sit down, please. So, how can I help you?
Good morning. Well, you see, I lost my job last week. In fact, I was made redundant.
Sorry about that.
I worked for Brendix Limited in Reading for 13 years. I was one of three admin assistants in the sales department. I was advised to come here to see you and claim unemployment benefit.
Right. First, can I have your name, please?
James Wickersham.
Sorry, could you spell your surname, please?
Sure. It's WICKERSHAM.
Thanks. Secondly, do you have your social security number with you?
Yes, I do. Here it is. The number is GT864491E.
GT864491E. Okay. Are you still at St. John Street?
Oh, no. We moved some time ago. Our address now is 220 Scarborough Road.
I've got it. So that means your telephone number has changed as well.
Yes. Now it's 0374-5623-1886.
And what about your email address? I've got one here at gmail.com.
I do have a new one now, at Zimbra.
OK, then I need your new email address.
It's very simple. james86@zimbra.uk.
Zimbra. Is that Z-I-M-B-R-A?
Yes, that's it.
OK, now I need to check your personal details. First of all, are you still married?
Oh, yes, and still in love.
Good for you. And according to our records, you have two children?
Well, actually, we have three now, with a baby girl just 6 months old.
So that's why you moved?
That's right. We used to have five rooms, but we wanted an extra room for the baby. We have now moved into a house which has the exact number of rooms we need.
Good. And is it rented or did you buy it?
It's rented.
And what's the rent per month?
£625.
Okay. And how much do you pay for utilities?
Pardon?
You know, utilities. I mean gas, electricity and water.
Let me think. Gas about £45. Electricity about £29. And water, if I remember rightly, about £22. So that's £96 altogether.
OK, now I have everything I need.
That is the end of part one. Part two. You will hear five short recordings in which people are talking about visiting trade fairs. For each speaker, decide what the reason for visiting the trade fair is. Write one letter, A to G, next to the number of the recording. Do not use any letter more than once. There are two answers you do not need to use. You will hear the recordings twice. You now have time to read the questions. Speaker 1.
Well, as I actually have a company of my own, I'm extremely busy. So I am very selective about the fairs I visit. I know exactly what I'm looking for. With this one, for example, I wanted to see how our goods compete against our main rivals. I spent time looking at their products as if I were an ordinary customer. Speaker 2.
For me, fairs are quite a vital part of business life. I work for a startup company, and I'm here to present our production to the various people I meet on the spot. To be more precise, I offer potential clients different samples covering our whole range of new and innovative products. And so far, the feedback sounds very promising. Speaker 3.
These fairs are getting so big. Moreover, I was very disappointed about not taking on a new foreign sales representative, which had been my main objective. Actually, I did talk to a couple of promising people who cover the South America area, but there were a lot of complications, different expectations. I realize fairs are not the best place to find the kind of contact I'm looking for. Speaker 4.
This time I went to the fair to find some new processor manufacturers. I'm not satisfied with our present supplier, who isn't reliable in terms of delivery deadlines. And it's getting urgent because our computers are selling well, really well. Speaker 5.
To stay competitive, you have to keep finding different marketing angles. While I was at the fair, I discovered new techniques which will enable us to analyze our customer preferences and target what they need. These techniques will give us a better picture of what they want. That's why I like going to fairs. Now listen again.
Speaker 1.
Well, as I actually have a company of my own, I'm extremely busy. So I am very selective about the fairs I visit. I know exactly what I'm looking for. With this one, for example, I wanted to see how our goods compete against our main rivals. I spent time looking at their products as if I were an ordinary customer. Speaker 2.
For me, fairs are quite a vital part of business life. I work for a startup company, and I'm here to present our production to the various people I meet on the spot. To be more precise, I offer potential clients different samples covering our whole range of new and innovative products. And so far, the feedback sounds very promising. Speaker 3.
These fairs are getting so big. Moreover, I was very disappointed about not taking on a new foreign sales representative, which had been my main objective. Actually, I did talk to a couple of promising people who cover the South America area, but there were a lot of complications, different expectations. I realize fairs are not the best place to find the kind of contact I'm looking for. Speaker 4.
This time I went to the fair to find some new processor manufacturers. I'm not satisfied with our present supplier, who isn't reliable in terms of delivery deadlines. And it's getting urgent because our computers are selling well, really well. Speaker 5.
To stay competitive, you have to keep finding different marketing angles. While I was at the fair, I discovered new techniques which will enable us to analyze our customer preferences and target what they need. These techniques will give us a better picture of what they want. That's why I like going to fairs. That is the end of part 2. Part 3. You will listen to a conversation between Peter, a radio presenter, and Karen Beck, a young entrepreneur. For each question, choose one answer, A, B, or C. There is only one correct answer per question. You will hear the recording twice. You now have time to read the questions.
I'd like to welcome Karen Beck to the program today, one of two young entrepreneurs working together. Just 5 years ago, they started a small textile company, Baxfords Fabrics, which is becoming a household name. Our listeners would be very interested in hearing how you did it. You were working in Southeast Asia when you came up with the idea, right?
Yes, I was working for the design department of a textile company in Thailand. And Jim was still working for a marketing firm in London.
So, how did you get the idea of your own company?
Well, it was obvious that many of the local traditional crafts were in danger of dying out. So I could see an opportunity to develop a new market and do something useful for the people in the villages. The only problem was that I didn't have any real business experience, which is where Jim came in. When I actually called him to see if he was interested, he wasn't enthusiastic at all. He thought I was mad, actually.
How did you talk him around, Karen?
By persuading him that I did actually know a lot about the country, and that in fact it wasn't such a bad idea.
How did you get started? In financial terms, I mean.
Well, we had both saved some money we could invest. That was just as well, because the banks wouldn't touch us, and our families couldn't put any money into our business.
And so, when did production start?
Our priority was analysing the market, which we did in New York, then in Europe. Things like showrooms, offices, and of course production came later.
And what were the biggest financial expenses at the beginning?
At the time, it seemed that all our money was going into airfares and hotels, but in fact, it went into buying and restoring a very old house in the village, turning it into a workshop, studio and home.
So when did things really start to take off?
About 3 years ago. Our show in New York was the turning point. In that year, we sold 85% of our stock to the US. The rest we sold in the UK.
Is the US still your best customer?
It's still a very good customer, but not as good as it used to be. For the last year, we've been doing extremely well in Scandinavia and Japan, but not as well as in Germany, which is now our number one.
And the future? Any plans for a showroom in New York, say, or Berlin, or more workshops?
I suppose we're at a crossroads. We've come a long way in a very short time, doubling turnover every year. But we may be reaching a point where we have to choose between expansion and the maintenance of quality. And that worries us. Jim thinks it would be logical to expand, but I don't want to if it means lowering our standards. Anyway, that's a problem we'll have to deal with in the next few months. Now listen again.
I'd like to welcome Karen Beck to the program today, one of two young entrepreneurs working together. Just 5 years ago, they started a small textile company, Baxfords Fabrics, which is becoming a household name. Our listeners would be very interested in hearing how you did it. You were working in Southeast Asia when you came up with the idea, right?
Yes, I was working for the design department of a textile company in Thailand, and Jim was still working for a marketing firm in London.
So, how did you get the idea of your own company?
Well, it was obvious that many of the local traditional crafts were in danger of dying out. So I could see an opportunity to develop a new market and do something useful for the people in the villages. The only problem was that I didn't have any real business experience, which is where Jim came in. When I actually called him to see if he was interested, he wasn't enthusiastic at all. He thought I was mad, actually.
How did you talk him around, Karen?
By persuading him that I did actually know a lot about the country, and that in fact it wasn't such a bad idea.
How did you get started? In financial terms, I mean.
Well, we had both saved some money we could invest. That was just as well, because the banks wouldn't touch us, and our families couldn't put any money into our business.
And so, when did production start?
Our priority was analysing the market, which we did in New York, then in Europe. Things like showrooms, offices, and of course production came later.
And what were the biggest financial expenses at the beginning?
At the time, it seemed that all our money was going into airfares and hotels, but in fact, it went into buying and restoring a very old house in the village, turning it into a workshop, studio and home.
So when did things really start to take off?
About 3 years ago. Our show in New York was the turning point. In that year, we sold 85% of our stock to the US. The rest we sold in the UK.
Is the US still your best customer?
It's still a very good customer, but not as good as it used to be. For the last year, we've been doing extremely well in Scandinavia and Japan, but not as well as in Germany, which is now our number one.
And the future? Any plans for a showroom in New York, say, or Berlin, or more workshops?
I suppose we're at a crossroads. We've come a long way in a very short time, doubling turnover every year. But we may be reaching a point where we have to choose between expansion and the maintenance of quality. And that worries us. Jim thinks it would be logical to expand, but I don't want to if it means lowering our standards. Anyway, that's a problem we'll have to deal with in the next few months. This is the end of part 3.
Fin de l'enregistrement.